This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Feedback frequency, how often is enough? The hidden cost of getting feedback timing badly wrong. In short, feedback frequency is not about how much you care. It is about how well you read the rhythm a person needs to grow. The timing of feedback shapes whether it lands as guidance or noise. Too little feedback allows drift. Too much collapses trust and attention. Matching frequency to the person and the moment is the core skill most managers never learn. Definition: feedback frequency refers to how often feedback is given to a person in a working relationship. The right cadence depends on the individual, the task, and the stakes, and getting it wrong in either direction, too much or too little, reduces the feedback's power to drive real change. Introduction. I noticed something years ago watching a manager I respected. She gave feedback constantly, always well-intentioned, always specific, but her team had quietly stopped listening. They smiled, they nodded, and they went on exactly as before. The feedback had become wallpaper. Feedback frequency is one of those questions that looks simple until you sit with it. How often is enough? How often is too much? The answer matters more than most people realize, because it is not just about how often you speak. It is about whether your feedback carries weight when you do. This is the question this article answers. What is the mechanism behind effective feedback timing? And why does getting it wrong, in either direction, cost you more than you think? Understanding that mechanism will change how you plan your feedback conversations, not just how often you have them. If you are looking for tools to structure those conversations, our Feedback Loops Boost Team Synergy is a useful companion to what follows here. The surface versus the root of feedback skills. Most people think about feedback frequency as a scheduling problem. Weekly one-to-ones, monthly reviews, annual appraisals. They count the meetings and assume that more contact equals more development. That assumption is the source of most feedback failures I've witnessed. At the surface level, feedback frequency looks like a calendar decision. A manager chooses how often to check in, sets a rhythm, and assumes the work is done. The feedback gets delivered, the box gets ticked, and nothing changes in how the person actually performs. Underneath that sits something more fundamental. Feedback only works when the person receiving it is in a state to hear it, absorb it, and act on it. Frequency determines whether that state is preserved or destroyed. Give feedback too rarely, and people fill the silence with their own interpretation, which is almost always less accurate than yours. Give it too often, and you train people to wait for the next correction instead of trusting their own judgment. Understanding the root changes how you respond to the surface. Feedback frequency explained, the mechanism behind the timing. Here is the truth of it. Feedback is not a message. It is a signal. And like any signal, its clarity depends entirely on the conditions in which you send it. When feedback arrives at the right moment, it connects to something the person already felt but could not name. They were aware something was off, or that something worked well, but they had no frame for it. Your feedback gives them that frame, which means that in practice, well-timed feedback does not feel like criticism or praise. It feels like recognition. That is the difference between feedback that changes behavior and feedback that creates defensiveness. When feedback comes too rarely, something quieter but equally damaging happens. People begin to operate in a vacuum. They make assumptions about their performance based on sparse data. A long silence after a mistake often reads as serious disapproval. A long silence after good work reads as indifference. Neither interpretation serves the person or the team. This is why infrequent feedback distorts people's self-perception far more than managers realize. When feedback arrives too frequently, the signal-to-noise ratio collapses. Each piece of feedback is competing with the last one for attention. The person cannot apply what they heard yesterday before they are receiving something new today. That is why teams led by constant correctors often plateau, not because the feedback is bad, but because there is no space between the signal and the action. People need time to metabolize what they have heard before the next conversation is useful. There is also a trust dimension to frequency. When someone receives feedback at a pace that allows them to act on it and see results, they begin to trust the process. They bring more of themselves to the next conversation. When the pace overwhelms them, they protect themselves by engaging less, which means that feedback frequency directly determines how much psychological safety exists in your feedback relationship. The mechanism, then, is this feedback frequency regulates how much mental and emotional space a person has to receive, process, and apply what they hear. Too little space creates drift and misreading. Too much collapses the space entirely. What feedback timing looks like in real situations. Here is where this mechanism becomes visible in everyday communication. A new team member joins, and their manager, eager to help, offers feedback after every task for the first 3 weeks. The manager sees this as support. The new employee experiences it as surveillance. By week 4, the employee stops making independent decisions, waiting instead for the manager's reaction before committing to anything. The mechanism at work, constant feedback, had replaced the employee's own judgment rather than developing it. A senior colleague receives feedback only at her annual review. For 11 months, she'd been handling a client relationship in a way that was costing the team goodwill, a pattern her manager had noticed, but never addressed. When the feedback finally came, it landed as a shock rather than a course correction. She felt blindsided, not supported. The mechanism at work, the long silence, had allowed a small misalignment to calcify into a serious problem. A team leader shifts to brief, focused check-ins every fortnight, replacing the monthly formal review. He is specific, consistent, and leaves time between conversations for people to apply what they hear. Within 2 months, his team is bringing their own observations to the conversations rather than waiting to be told. The mechanism at work, the rhythm, had created just enough pressure to prompt reflection, and just enough space to allow growth. In each of these situations, the surface behavior was different. The root mechanism was the same. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why most people miss the right feedback rhythm. If this insight is this important, why do so few managers find the right rhythm naturally? They default to systems instead of reading people. Most organizations impose a standard feedback cadence: quarterly reviews, weekly one-to-ones, an annual process. These systems offer consistency, which is valuable. But they also train managers to follow a schedule rather than read the person in front of them. The right feedback frequency is not the same for a struggling new hire as it is for a confident high performer. When the system sets the rhythm, the individual gets lost inside it. Managers stop asking, when does this person need to hear from me? And start asking, when is the meeting scheduled? They confuse activity with impact. Giving feedback feels productive. It feels like leadership. A manager who gives frequent feedback often believes they're doing more for their team than one who is selective and deliberate. But frequency without discernment is noise. The manager who speaks less, but more precisely, builds more trust and drives more change than the one who is always in the room. Until managers separate the feeling of being useful from the evidence of being effective, they will keep choosing volume over precision. They do not account for the absorption gap. Feedback requires a gap between delivery and action. People need to sit with what they heard, try something different, notice the result, and then be ready for the next conversation. Most managers do not observe this gap because it is invisible. You cannot see someone processing feedback. You can only see what they do next. Missing this gap leads managers to interpret silence as indifference, which prompts more feedback, which shortens the gap further, which reduces the impact still more. Awareness is the beginning. But awareness without application changes nothing. What understanding feedback frequency means for how you communicate. Understanding this changes what you do in three specific ways. Number one, match the rhythm to the moment, not the calendar. Feedback frequency should rise during transitions, a new project, a skill being learned, a period of underperformance. It should ease as competence and confidence grow. The practical action is to assess where someone is before you decide how often to meet with them, not after. Ask yourself, does this person have enough feedback to act on, or are they drifting without guidance? If you want a structure for those conversations, how to use the SBI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides offers a clear framework to apply inside each session. Number two, give feedback space to work before adding more. After a meaningful feedback conversation, allow time for the person to apply what they heard before revisiting it. Resist the urge to check in too quickly, which signals that you do not trust them to act without monitoring. A simple approach: agree in the conversation itself on when you will next discuss progress. That agreement gives the person a clear window to work in, and it gives you a natural moment to follow up rather than hovering. You might also find follow-up emails that reinforce accountability useful for bridging the gap without overwhelming people. Number 3. Use real-time feedback for behaviors, scheduled feedback for patterns. In the moment, feedback works best for specific, observable actions that are fresh and immediate. Scheduled conversations work best for patterns, trends, and longer-term development. Separating these two types of feedback means neither one loses its purpose. For guidance on keeping those scheduled conversations productive, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it, and how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan are both worth your time. These are not new behaviors. They are the same behaviors, grounded in a deeper understanding of why they work. Key insights and next steps. Feedback frequency is not about showing you care. It is about creating the conditions in which feedback can actually do its work. The right feedback rhythm preserves the mental space a person needs to hear, absorb, and act on what they receive. Too little feedback allows people to drift and misread silence. Too much collapses the space for growth. Matching frequency to the individual and the moment, rather than a fixed schedule, is the mark of a practitioner who truly understands feedback. Real-time feedback and structured conversations serve different purposes. Using both well requires knowing which the moment calls for. Trust in the feedback relationship grows when people have enough room to apply what they hear before the next conversation arrives. The manager who speaks less, but more precisely builds more lasting change than the one who is always in the room. To go further, the role of communication in meeting success and how to handle conflict during meetings will help you strengthen the broader communication context in which your feedback lands. Getting feedback frequency right is a practice, not a setting. You adjust, you observe, and you keep learning. Frequently asked questions. What is feedback frequency in the workplace? Feedback frequency refers to how often a manager or colleague gives feedback to someone on their team. The right rhythm depends on the person, the task, and the stakes involved. Too little feedback allows poor habits to form. Too much can overwhelm and reduce its impact. How often should feedback frequency happen at work? There's no single correct answer, but most people benefit from a combination of in-the-moment feedback for specific behaviours and structured conversations weekly or fortnightly. Feedback frequency should increase during new projects, onboarding, or when performance has dipped, and ease off as confidence grows. Why does feedback frequency matter for team performance? When people receive feedback at the right intervals, they can adjust before small problems become serious ones. Irregular or infrequent feedback forces people to guess whether they're on track. Consistent feedback frequency builds trust, reduces anxiety, and creates the conditions for real improvement. What happens when feedback is given too frequently? When feedback comes too often, it loses its weight. People begin to filter it out or feel micromanaged. Effective feedback frequency means each conversation carries enough significance to prompt reflection. Constant correction without room to apply prevents genuine growth. How do I find the right feedback frequency for each person? Start by asking. Some people want weekly check-ins. Others need space to work. Watch for signs that someone is drifting without guidance or becoming defensive under too much scrutiny. Adjust feedback frequency based on their confidence level, the complexity of the task, and how quickly they apply what they hear. Is real-time feedback better than scheduled feedback sessions? Both serve different purposes. Real-time feedback is most effective for specific, observable behaviours that need immediate correction or reinforcement. Scheduled sessions allow for reflection and broader performance conversations. A strong feedback frequency rhythm uses both, matching the type of feedback to the moment it is needed most. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.